You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Steven.
And I'm Brett.
And we are the
Broadway Husbands. We are your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast network you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Visit us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands, online at broadwaypodcastnetwork.com/Broadway Husbands or bpn.fm/husbands for short. We are proud to be members of the Broadway Podcast Network.
Yes, we are.
So, the last few episodes we've been interviewing people, and now it's just us today on episode 11, and we thought we would take a little time today to talk about what we recently experienced 2018-2019 that we are appropriately now calling our sabbatical from performing in New York.
Yeah.
I think that's that's an appropriate title for it now, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it was like a complete sabbatical.
That's true.
We had maybe, I think, so for those of you who don't know.
Let's tell the story.
Okay. So in August of 2018, we moved from New York City, the Big Apple, to Charleston, South Carolina. And, there are a few things that led to that decision. I know for myself, I was feeling burnt out and a little bit tired, and I wanted to try something new.
Let me just paint the picture real quick.
Paint it.
Steven had gone from, I think in like 3 years, he had done 4 Broadway shows or something like that, right?
That's right.
How many years was it?
Yeah, and it was like 4 years.
He went from
just straight 8 times a
on
week.
On the town, straight into An American in Paris. Am I missing something? And then you went right into
Hello, Dolly.
Yeah. And so his body was just like beat up. And I had gone from Amazing Grace to Paramore straight through. And Paramore was a whole, that's an episode in itself. Maybe a whole podcast. And so we both were pretty burnt out, and an opportunity came for us to move to Charleston.
And also, just to backtrack even further, I think I've always fantasized about living somewhere else. I came to New York when I was really young. I moved here when I was 12, turning 13. And I think I always, that kind of made me always think that I should live somewhere else. And I didn't experience growing up in the suburbs like I was supposed to, or out like just a little bit further from the city. I think so. Like, I always hoped and dreamed that one day I would leave New York. And so that was always something in the back of my head. And I always,
and we actually took trips specifically to like Austin, Texas.
Yeah,
and
I had a dream one night and I woke up and I was like, I think we should move to Austin, Texas.
So we planned a vacation and we checked it out. And
yeah, I was searching. I was definitely searching. So the opportunity came up for...
And Charleston, we'd been to Charleston a couple of times. And it's a beautiful town. I wouldn't say city. It's a beautiful town.
It's a beautiful town.
And
it's a quiet village.
It is.
Would you say every day is like the one before?
Yeah.
No, I mean, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's beautiful.
The weather is like
so
the same
nice.
Every day,
so nice.
Except when the hurricanes come through. But so we were like, this is beautiful. And we knew somebody there who proposed an opportunity. And we were like, well, maybe we should check it out. And
yeah, we were at that moment where like, that's the way we felt. We were ready to go. And we were like, let's try. We have nothing to lose. You know,
and our friend, you know, these people were like, we'll help you. Like, we'll make it all work out for you. Don't worry about it. And we were like, great. So we moved all of our stuff.
So yeah, we didn't sublet our apartment. We moved all of our stuff. We had movers come and they took it in a, you know, a big truck down to Charleston, and we drove to Pittsburgh and then drove from Pittsburgh to Charleston.
Yeah. And, gosh, it's scary to like say too much
because
so many people know the people involved. So, well, we don't want to say too much, but there was some interesting turn of events when we arrived. I said yes to some teaching jobs, which I was very happy to do. And I was teaching at the college, I was teaching musical theater at the College of Charleston. And shout out to anybody there who's listening. I loved the students and the campus was gorgeous. And
the most beautiful campus.
Oh my gosh. And I was teaching musical theater. I taught jazz dance and I directed the musical Urinetown in the spring.
And at the College of Charleston, I taught jazz, ballet, and I choreographed for their fall dance concert, which was awesome. I really loved working there. And
I think we both thought, like, we'll take these adjunct positions and then eventually maybe they'll be like a higher paying position. Because let's just be honest, adjunct professors, if no one knows, I think we made somewhere around $2,000 per semester per class. I mean, there's just no way.
Yeah, it was rough. It was a
little
rough.
To make money doing that unless you're teaching like 10 classes.
10 classes
and the amount of work is just unbelievable with the paperwork and the...
Yeah.
It's interesting. So if you are a college professor, God bless you. I have so much respect for what they do. And then I was teaching at this after-school program called the Musical Theater Center, which was, for younger kids. And but the frustrating thing for me was no one at the Musical Theater Center had ever really had a career in musical theater, so it became a real challenge to go from working on Broadway to then like being the odd man out who had all this experience and. It didn't really matter because like nobody cared. But the students were great. I liked teaching, but it was frustrating being the only person with that kind of experience. So,
I taught at a ballet studio where the whole reason why we went was to be a part of this ballet studio. And the ballet studio there was amazing. The students were amazing. So many talented kids. And
but it just quickly became really clear that we were never gonna actually make the money that we needed to make in order to move into like
to buy a house, or not be poor, have an apartment that we could afford, and
which is something that I think maybe you know if we had gotten some stuff in like we didn't get things in writing before we went because we were like oh it's friends and we were trusting people. So our biggest number one piece of advice if you're planning on taking a sabbatical is make sure everything's in writing before you go, because we really didn't take care of ourselves in that way. We trusted people in a way, and I think that you know we both are very sensitive people, so we felt very personally hurt by it. But that's we realized that like that was just our part in it was to not get take care of ourselves.
I mean, I think my biggest part in it was just leading with my heart and my friendship and not my business side at all, which is sort of unlike me. I mean, it's pretty unlike me, but for whatever reason, I and I think it comes back to the state of mind that I can just speak for myself that I definitely know that I was in, that I wanted to try something new, that I was a little bit burnt out and just ready to go.
Take a break.
You know, I was ready to take a break or just try something new. And, you know, so I think that that's all I wanted. You know, I wasn't thinking about the things maybe I should have been thinking about, you know?
Yeah. So we ended up kind of being stuck in this commitment to try to fulfill for the year and the school year. And so we were living in this studio apartment that, you know.
We had a studio apartment that, it's really funny because the apartment that we have in, that we currently live in, we've had for 10 years. And we've lived in it and out of it for a couple times. But I always thought it was really small. And, but this.
We were living in a garage apartment.
It was a garage apartment.
With sharing a car.
Sharing a car. We wouldn't fight with each other, but we experienced watching each other kind of like
break down
and throw fits at the highest number, I think, ever. Like,
it was really pretty bad.
Yeah, it was interesting because we would never really fight with each other. We would go through things and like yell or freak out. And it was always like, oh, this apartment is so small. Like we'd hit our knee on the bed or, and then like, oh, what am I doing? You know, just like, and I know that I saw Brett, you know, kind of melt down a lot. And I know that he saw me melt down a lot too. And, but it was interesting because through all of that, I, you know, we would always laugh at the end and I would be like, well, I was like, it's interesting because like this is the first time in our relationship where like one of us is kind of going through something and like we both understand and really know for the first time that it's not about the other person. I think like typically in our relationship, a lot of times like if Brett's having a hard time, like I take it upon myself and think that it's about me and think that I need to do something or the, you know, and like, I'm always like, well, what is it? What do you need? You know, like, it's like that kind of thing. And I think that I did something wrong or I think that, you know, I can fix it somehow. But there, I can honestly say the first time in a relationship, like we wouldn't be fighting, but we would be struggling emotionally. And it was the first time where like, we would just let each other like, kind of like go through whatever crazy we were going through. And let them come out the other side. And then we'd be like, I love you. Like, it's going to be okay.
It would be like, if we can get through this, if we can get through this, well, our marriage is very strong.
Yeah.
And so it, there were definitely some really low, like low lows. And again, like not really setting ourselves up for success financially and everything else because we didn't get any things in writing.
And yeah.
We really took a huge risk. We were like overdrawn, like on a weekly basis, and we were having to use credit cards. I mean, it was like, it was so intense. So, you know, it was stressful. And then sharing the car and driving for 2 hours to yeah. get to teach 6-year-olds and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
There were a lot of stressful things that, you know, obviously led to us wanting to come back. But, you know, there were a lot of great things
so
about
being
there.
Let's talk about the things
yeah,
that were great about.
There were a lot of great things about being there, you know. So
I'm going to say the first thing that I loved about when we first got there.
Tell me.
So there's been a hurricane
oh, yeah.
that has gone through Charleston every year that's made the entire town evacuate
mm-hmm.
for like 7 years or something
which
crazy
is
like that.
Terrible.
So let's talk about climate change.
Yeah.
Anyway, side note. But the every so we had to evacuate, I think about 3 weeks into moving there, we had to evacuate Charleston. And my cousin
lives in Columbia,
South Carolina with her then their
with her
not,
then girlfriend.
I don't
they
think
weren't married,
no. But they just built this beautiful,
beautiful
house in
so,
Columbia.
Wait, before so we get evacuated and we're driving. Is it 26? Is that what the name of that highway is?
I don't remember.
I want to say it's 26. Anyways, so you're driving up and like you can only go out. Like once you go out of Charleston, you can't turn back around and go back in. They
both
only
lanes
like have the
going,
highways going
yeah.
out. It, there's just one highway. And then so we get there and the whole time I'm like, is this really going to be okay that we're going there? Like who knows how long we're going to be there? And then we pull up to this house and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I mean, it was like this.
She's a lawyer.
She's very, it was like this beautiful house. And
but there's only like a few, like I have a gay cousin on my dad's. Oh, oh. And there, I have a gay cousin, Paul, and then her. And I've never actually, and then Julia is on my mom's side.
Oh.
But those are the only people I know in my family that are gay. So I have never spent time with her.
Right.
And so we got to spend like 6 days.
We were there for an entire week because we couldn't go back into Charleston. I think we went there on, I want to say on like a Tuesday or a Monday night. And we left on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Like it was a long time that we were there.
We didn't have to teach that week.
We didn't have to teach. We didn't have to do anything.
It got a little boring.
Yeah, we were literally just hanging out in Columbia and it was very...
Okay, so that was my first thing that I really liked.
That was your first thing.
When we got there. What was yours?
What was mine? Okay, so there is this place that we went to very early on. And I remember I had seen it and I remember thinking, I can't go in there and eat that. If I eat it, I know I'm going to love it and I'm going to eat it all the time. And so one of the first weekends we were there, we went up to Somerville to see a performance of a show.
Oof.
And and while we were waiting, I just like randomly searched on a map, like something to eat. And it was this place that I had seen that I was just mentioning. It was called Boxcar Betty's.
Oh, so good.
And I was like, oh, it's this place, Boxcar Betty's. They have it up here. Like, I really want to go. I think it's a chain. Like, oh God, we got to go. And so we go. And the first time I had it, okay, I'm also like really into Blue Ribbon fried chicken, and this makes Blue Ribbon fried chicken like nothing. Like it's like terrible.
Like Costco.
Like Costco nothing. Like I mean, nothing. It's like the best fried chicken. And I feel like the first time I had it, we got sweet potato fries because we were trying to be healthier. And the sweet potato fries definitely had sugar on them. Yeah. Right? I mean, like it was like, I was like, well, this is
like a Southern, it's like why you cannot go to Chick-fil-A if there's a Boxcar Betty's.
If there's a Boxcar Betty's. So, and then there's one in West Ashley that then I started to kind of, not frequent, but definitely like if I was feeling upset or like low, would be like, we got to go to Boxcar Betty's.
Yeah, that was,
so that was probably like my first thing.
Yeah. And then the other thing that was really great was we became, so if you go to our website, so BroadwayHusbands.com, we have a whole chapter on Charleston where you can, we have recommendations. So if you're thinking about going to Charleston, want to check out Charleston, we have all these like referrals for like food and places like that. But we became really good friends with this girl, Jamie Huffman, who's the Charleston Blonde. And she lived in our neighborhood and she was super fun. She was on Survivor, met her husband on Survivor, and there was this fun little community of like quote unquote influencers. And we became kind of a part of that community because of our Instagram account. And so we got to know her and hang out with her. And that was really fun. Mm-hmm. And the food, we would just eat so well in Charleston.
Yes,
because
we
had
did.
No time to like, we were shuffling always between places.
Yeah.
The weather
was amazing. January, it's interesting. I think November was actually kind of cold. And I remember being upset about it because I was like, wait, they said it wasn't going to be that cold. And I remember I was like, I think I had to get my winter jacket out. And then once January came, it was so mild and always in the 50s or higher. And sunny, we would go to the beach and kind of walk around.
So that was nice.
I love that. We lived down the street from Folly Beach.
Folly Beach.
Which was amazing. We could always just go down there.
In January.
And just like walk around. And
yeah,
we went to an amazing church.
Oh yeah. We found this amazing church called the Circular Congregation Church. And it's downtown and it was open and affirming. So there were lots of lesbian gay couples there. And so that was such a wonderful thing to sort of find a community there, a spiritual community.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
We had never gone to a church regularly. And this, like from the moment we went, I was like, oh, I would look forward to it every week. And it was just such a great place. And also, there's a lot of fun things to do in Charleston, especially if you're ever there, go on a ghost tour. Because the first time we actually saw the Circular Church was in a ghost tour that we did, like one of the times we were visiting there. And there was a rainbow flag on somewhere by the church. And so that's how we knew to go there. But there is so many cool ghost tours there. And if you ever have a chance to do the haunted jail tour.
He did it like three times.
I think I did it. I know I did it twice. I possibly did it three times, but I know that for sure I did it twice, like really close together. And it was so cool. And so there's a tour guide there, and I wish I knew his name right now. But he was a retired homicide detective. And now he just is, you know, because of his line of work, he's familiar with like all of like the murders and crimes in the area, like all throughout history. So then he knows like all of like what kind of ghosts like roam different areas, and like any sort of supernatural television show, like reality show.
He's on it. Yeah.
He like is their like supervisor and like helps them. So like,
he's been on like Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, I had him twice as my tour guide, and I wish I, what is this? Anyway,
you're so excited.
It was so, it's so worth it and kind of really scary. And I highly recommend
yes.
it.
Yes.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So Charleston, so the other thing that I think that was really great about going away is that it gave us a lot of perspective. And we were able to sort of course, we talked about how the perspective we got of our relationship, because it really, I think, seeing ourselves kind of in these really weakened and kind of heartbroken states, I would say, and frustrated, you know, because we really, you know, we're struggling. I mean, it was not easy. And yet on Instagram, you would never have known, because we built this Instagram account at the same time that really started to blow up. But one of the things that we had been planning was that once the business deal came through, we were going to start a family. And then when everything sort of started falling apart, we realized we had to put that on pause. And that was a hard thing to do, because we had really started moving pretty quickly through that process. But now we've kind of had to take a step back, which is not easy, because it was a huge goal for us. But what we did realize is what New York gives us as artists, and what New York, the opportunities that New York offers us, kind of outweigh the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think that part of the perspective that we gained was, people would always say things like, oh, it's just a better quality of life. It's just a better quality of life. And Brett used to say this to me all the time. And I think it depends on how you define quality of life. Like, I think for a long time I thought that I would be happy if I was out on the beach or lived down the street from the beach and was in a car and not in the subway and like had all this open space all the time. And don't get me wrong, those things are amazing and awesome. But I ultimately like learned that I need to have, and I want, people at my, I want access to people. I want access to people who I can learn from constantly. Just like all of the things that the city provides and all the opportunities that are here and all of the groups and networks of people and companies that I'm involved in and maybe didn't even really
appreciate
it, mm-hmm. you know? And like, so it just, for me, it was kind of like, oh, wait, what, mm-hmm. what have I done? Oh God.
But I think what's super powerful about it is that we did step away and we came back and the community is still here. And, you know, I booked a Broadway show, you know, like things happened when we came back. So I think if anything, I would encourage people to step away, take a sabbatical. If you're burnt out, go away. I mean, protect yourself first.
Yeah.
But what we gained from the experience, what we learned about ourselves, what we learned about what we want was so worth it. And what we learned about what New York gives us, the opportunity that New York City gives us, especially at this point in our lives, mm-hmm. is, is going to actually help us move further along towards the path to fatherhood, towards the path to what we want personally, because we can actually make a living here.
Yeah.
We can actually make a living and get insurance weeks and get pension and benefits, which there were no equity theaters in Charleston. Like, how are we going to ever, that's how we've made our living. Unless we completely quit doing what we love. And like we said on this podcast, we encourage you to love who you love and love what you do. And I don't know that I'm ready to sacrifice doing what I love.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately that was probably what I learned most, because I didn't stop really performing or auditioning like the whole time I was there. And I think that I thought I would get there and be like, oh, I'm done. You know, I mean, I didn't actually like decide to be done, but when we left, and that wasn't my intention. But I think that there was a part of me that was hoping that somehow like I would fade out of myself somehow, but that didn't happen. So, you know, so I was like flying up and auditioning and flying back, you know, like doing things like that. And so,
yeah, and we did book some like local commercials.
We booked this really cool Google commercial.
I did a Hallmark movie, but yeah. We were sort of like, well, if we're booking these here, why wouldn't we book them in New York? So we're really happy we came back, and we're really happy we didn't sell our apartment.
Yes, thank God.
We had listed it and it never sold. So we were able to move back into our East Village place. And we're still kind of furnishing it, but it's been really...
We're not still kind of furnished. It's furnished. There's a couple of things that we still need to get.
So if anybody at Wayfair is listening...
we love Wayfair
right
now.
We need sponsorship. And I'm really lucky that I got this job. So we're able to sort of kind of keep moving forward and getting out of the hole. And the Actors Fund was incredibly helpful to us last year. If you don't know the Actors Fund... And the Actors Federal Credit Union helped us refinance our mortgage, and that was super helpful. And so those are both two organizations that we owe a huge, huge thanks to. And so that is our story.
That is our Charleston. Sabbatical story. We love Charleston. I would totally have stayed if
we were going to make money.
We could have figured it out somehow. But ultimately, I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah.
So
here we are.
Here we are. So
now we are going to move on to our segment we call
Spotlight on Love. Woo.
So somebody wrote to us, Dav Neal, on Instagram, and it's a super simple question. But is there a good time to first say I love you to your partner? I think it's be a pretty quick answer.
Well, I mean, is there a good time? I mean, I think when I was in this kind of situation, I would always try and like wait and wait and wait and wait. And in Brett and I's relationship, I think I knew pretty quickly that I was in love with him and I wanted to be with him and there was nobody else. And, but I definitely held back. To say it, I didn't like want to say it right away because I feel like when you say I love you, it kind of like commits you a little bit. And that's not why I didn't want to say it to Brett. I think I didn't want to say it to him, because I didn't want him to think that I was like jumping the gun. So in this case, I let Brett say it first. And he said, I love you. And I said, I know you
did. He did.
And he never lets me forget it.
Yeah. I mean, we literally.
Star Wars of you.
That is so Star Wars.
Yeah.
I know. It's so funny. So, side note, I was recently sick and I had to call out of the show. And so for the 2 days I was sick, I was vocal resting and trying to just sitting on the couch. And I watched all the Star Wars movies from episode 1 through episode 6, which was a huge feat. And
I watched most of them with him. I didn't rewatch number 1.
But it was like, we got Disney Plus and I'm sick. I'm going to take advantage of this. So I have never really committed to the story of Star Wars, and now I'm fully committed. Like, I'm in.
Give
it all to me.
I feel like this would have never happened if Disney didn't have Star Wars
Land. The Star Wars Land.
Star Wars Land, or just, you know, now it's a Disney property, you know, like Star Wars in general.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably. But I've always been like, I'm more of a Disney animation fan. Nope, I'm hooked on Star Wars now. So I never actually put that together when he said, I know that he was being Han Solo.
Yeah, that's right.
Han Solo. Anyway, that means I'm Princess
Leia. So that was like what happened in our relationship. But I think that, like, in general, I think a good time is ultimately when you feel it and you think that the other person feels it too. I don't think that if you're hesitant and you feel like maybe the other person doesn't feel that way, I think that maybe that's not a good time. But I think a good time to say it is when you're feeling it and you have a good feeling that they feel it too, then I think there's, you know, there's a good chance that you'll get what you want out of it.
I think you have to trust your gut.
Yeah.
I think you have to say, like, if I'm feeling something and it's not a feeling, right? I mean, it has to be a real feeling. It can't be infatuation. So, you know, if it's early on and there's a lot of sex happening and you're just like physically like, just, oh my God, I feel amazing with this person. That's probably a little more infatuation than love at that point.
Lust.
So give it a little bit of time. It's when you see somebody and you start to see their imperfections and you're still okay with that, that's when you know it's love.
Yeah. That's, or when you move to a different town and each one of you is like freaking out like four times a day on a daily basis, that's when you know it's love.
The hard part, I think, is when you start to see the human part of them, because humans are not perfect. And so when you first see somebody...
But see, he's not talking about me right now, so I don't know what he's talking about.
I mean, when I met Steven, I was like, his abs, I mean, they still are like a rock.
They're not like they were.
And I was like, oh God. And I was backstage at Beauty and the Beast with John Tartaglia Meredith Inglesby. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys, I'm dating the hottest guy. You gotta see him. He's picking me up the stage door. Do you remember this?
Yes. And I was there and they like,
they peeked out the
door.
The Montfontan like stage door.
Checking me out.
And they're like,
and Brett was like, and I was just like, oh God. I knew what was happening.
And Johnny Tartaglia was like, they were, oh my like, God,
checking me out. Anyways, so if you're feeling it and you think that they're feeling it, I think that it's okay.
Just be honest, but really.
But know that I think just yourself. Know that it's a commitment. I don't think that it should just be like flippantly said, you know.
And also make it a conversation. Like,
yeah,
I think I love you. Can we talk about that? What that means? Yeah. And see what happens. So that's our advice for Dav Neal. And if you want relationship and dating advice from our completely unqualified selves, send us a DM on Instagram at Broadway Husbands or shoot us an email on BroadwayHusbands.com, and we just might choose your question on the next episode.
Also, to guarantee you receive our advice, consider becoming a patron on Patreon, and you can join us on a live podcast to ask your question. Check out this plus an array of other benefits at patreon.com/BroadwayHusbands for more details.
Thanks for listening, guys, and we will see you in the next episode. Remember, on this podcast, we encourage you to
love who you love
and love what you do.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No,
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.